And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I'm Kevin, here alongside my sister Mary. How you doing?
What's up, everybody?
Oh, it's all grand. This week we are back to cover The Office, Season 7, Episodes 15 and 16, The Search, and what's the second one? Oh, PDA.
Yeah, PDA.
So before we jump into these episodes, however, Mare Bear, you're going to tell everybody what we covered last week.
Absolutely, Kev. So guys, last week we covered episode 13, Ultimatum, where basically the women of the office convinced Holly, your relationship is shit if he's not committed, so you should give him an ultimatum that he should propose to you by the end of the year, or you're gonna dump him.
I feel like AJ might have been a nice guy, but like Holly fell into peer pressure.
Oh my god, so badly.
That's what I feel like.
Like, because even Kelly at one point, she's like, well, I mean, you want kids, right? Because you're like almost 40.
You're old.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Pam was trying to be a positive influence on the office, as she often does, mm-hmm. try to be positive. And she wanted to create a
resolution
board. I couldn't think of the word. Resolutions board. Which then Andy and Dwight decide to find a loose woman for them as their resolutions.
To fuck a woman.
Yeah, to fuck a loose woman.
Yeah.
And Daryl wants to read more, so that takes them to the bookstore.
To pick up women.
To pick up women and for Daryl to actually get a book.
And grandma, Dwight, nasty grandma porn, too.
Yeah.
Gilf porn.
Dwight, then they go to a roller skating rink because the bookstore didn't work out for any of them. Dwight wanders over to Temptations.
He doesn't
on
wander.
Monday afternoon.
No, he skates.
He rollerblades over to Temptations.
With knee pads.
Yeah. You can't unsee that shit, man. You just can't. But overall, it was a fun episode.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, and Aaron totally upstaged Creed doing his cartwheel. Fuck you, fuck you!
Fuck you!
I love it. And then we move on to episode 14, The Seminar, where Andy, in a ploy to get actual sales, because he's
sucks.
Literally doing worse than Madge,
and,
a warehouse
and Hido.
Worker, in
Hide.
He decides to have a small business seminar and have the salesman, like, do little parts of it. Jim immediately bails on him.
Because he saw a grade school person who he had a fight with.
Yeah, and then Dwight, Phyllis, and Stanley all bail on him. So he brings in Kevin as a warm-up guy who runs around the room and throws up. Kelly, the business bitch. And then Creed.
Extraordinaire speaker.
Two eyes, two ears, a chin, a mouth. 10 fingers, 2 nipples. A butt, 2 kneecaps, a penis. And that sums
that's
up
it.
Creed.
That's about all of it.
But it ends up, and then Michael and Holly do like, Michael's like, I'm the plant, so I'm going to be a Greek guy named Mykonos. And then Holly plays along, and she's his wife, and they're
they
the
have
plant.
Fun, and blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they prep for the seminar for literally the entire day and show up at the end.
Which is kind of, if I was somebody in that seminar, I'd be like, who's this guy who just
yeah,
walks
who
in?
The fuck is this Greek guy who came in the last closing?
That was
here.
Weak.
Oh, and Aaron, Pam, and Oscar play Words with Friends with Gabe on Aaron's behest, and she's still a moron.
Yeah.
And Oscar gets
Oscar has
apoplexy. And, yeah, so that's pretty much what you guys missed.
Yeah. All right. So let's do this. This week we're going to start off with episode 15, The Search.
Woo.
And we start off with what is, I can only describe as one of the worst cold opens we've ever had. Because this one is just stupid. Ryan and Kelly enter and announce that they're getting a divorce.
Yes.
Everyone's confused. Why? When were they married?
Yeah.
And, like, they say, oh, we got drunk in the Poconos last week and just decided to get divorced this week. Mm-hmm. Or, no, yeah, this
no,
week.
No, they were drunk last week and
got married.
And
this week
they were
in the Poconos and decided to get divorced. And that's, like, then, like, Ryan does the Brad Pitt thing where he's like, oh, if gay people can't get married, we don't want to get married. And Oscar's like, I talked to the other gay guys, they said you can get married.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Like, that was the best part of it, was Oscar.
Yeah, and then, like, then they're, like, trying to get people to take sides and nobody cares.
Yeah.
Terrible cold open, because I just don't like Ryan.
It wasn't
basically.
The strongest. No, Oscar was a spotlight.
It was just, like, stupid. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Jim and Mike are heading out to do a sale together.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds one of the koi pond. Mike tells Holly that they belong together. He's, like, in the back talking to her.
Yeah, he's just,
and he's, like again, kind of rapey. Like, hey, come on, we're going to date each other. And she's like, why do you think I'm just going to date guys I work with? Like, I just got out of a relationship. He's like, oh, we're going to end up together. Come on. Like, he's like all butthurt about it.
He's aggressive.
Very aggressive. So Jim tells Pam before he leaves that he has a surprise at the fridge for her, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He took her art project, or something, a doodle
her
she
doodle.
Did.
Yes.
And he made it into art. Then we get a talking head of Erin, where she is the hero here.
Amazing. It says,
Holly is ruining Michael's life. Her personality is a 3. Her sense of humor is a 2. Her ears are a 7 and a 4. She's like, I just don't get it.
She's like a 16, and he treats her like a 40.
It's fucking hilarious. So Mike and Jim make the sale, and they're driving back. And Mike's just being like a pissy bitch.
Yo, he's throwing a tantrum.
Like, man, I don't want to talk about your life. So
how sex after the baby, Jim?
Yeah, so like then he has to take a pee. So Jim pulls over at a gas station. As Michael is inside, Jim gets a call from Helene, Pam's mom, granny. Mm-hmm. And she locked their baby in the car by accident.
On the way to the doctor's because she has a fever.
Yeah, so Jim, like, okay, I'm coming. And he goes and he bangs on the door. Yeah. Michael doesn't answer for whatever reason.
Not at all. Like, you'd think he was, like, fucking passed out on the floor in there.
So he tells Pam's mom, he's like, I'm on my way. He asks a random guy who's pumping gas.
In a jumpsuit at a gas station. Who's in, like, a mechanic's jumpsuit.
Like Andy when he was Pat during the Mafia episode. By the way, the day of this recording, happy birthday, Angelo Grotti. I don't know if you saw that. But anyway, so Mike doesn't answer. Jim takes off but asks the guy at the pump, oh, when he comes out, tell him to call the office. There was an emergency.
Yeah.
The guy waits for 1 second and then just leaves.
Yeah, he's like, whatever.
And Michael comes out of the bathroom just confused. Just like, Jim left. What? So Jim calls Pam and explains the situation, but he has Cece and everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And he asks Pam to send somebody to the gas station on Bennett. Is it?
Nothing.
No, Scranton Street.
I got nothing for that.
To send somebody to the gas station because he has Mike's keys, or a wallet and phone in his car. So, we see Mike with the gas station clerk trying to get him to, like, let him use the phone. And the guy's like, yo, your boy ditched you. Like, that guy just left. And Michael's like, no, he wouldn't just do that. So the guy's like, here's the phone. But of course, Michael in his cell phone age doesn't know a number. So he...
You don't have any of my numbers programmed.
He can't make a call anyway. So that's when he does a talking head where he's like going to walk.
Yeah.
Now, this is a question I have here. Now, I know that this is done as... It's a comedy show. However, it's done in the style of the cameras are there at all times. And Michael's talking to the cameraman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the camera guy doesn't have to help Michael. They keep it like, okay, you're a real puzzle. But he can't just say... There was an emergency, like, that's what happened. Like, that just seems, like, extra.
Yeah.
Instead, Michael basically is an Alzheimer's patient in this episode. Am I wrong? Remember when Uncle Albert at Phyllis's wedding? That's Michael in this episode.
The Knicks, that was a team.
The puppy who lost his way. Aww. Like, that's Michael in this episode. So,
Back at the office.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Holly is going to go get Mike, but then Erin and Dwight are, like, going as well. And it's important that they got these 3, I think.
But I love Dwight.
Oh, what's Dwight says something really misogynist, right?
Because Holly's like, no, I'll be fine on my own. And Erin's like, I'll go with you. And she's like, no, I'll be good. And Dwight goes, oh, great, let's send the space orphan and Princess Neekum Poop to go get him.
The space orphan. And I also love the fact that Dwight says, Erin, you're driving. I have fox meat in my car.
The space orphan?
That's good. That's a good one. But I like that it's these 3.
Yeah,
it's Michael's best
dynamic.
Friend, his daughter.
Secretary daughter.
Well, what's the word? Surrogate daughter,
surrogate
I guess.
Daughter, yeah.
And his love.
Yes.
So Pam finds the sketch that Jim left on the fridge. And it's like a printer from Saber, but she like anthropomorphized
she made, like, a
it.
Character.
Yeah, like the Brave Little Toaster.
Yeah.
And but people like wrote captions on it and like funny sayings and shit. So she, like, loves it, and she takes it out, and she's like, guys, I love this. Like, if I knew you wanted to do this, I'd, like, have, like, a competition or whatever.
Yeah.
But Gabe is, like, there, and he's kind of getting bent out of shape because they're mocking Saber products.
Oh, hardcore.
Yeah. So everybody wants to do it, but, like, he's all uneasy. Like, you could say, he doesn't, like, say anything directly, but he's just like,
He's uncomfortable.
Yeah. So Erin and Dwight ask the clerk at the gas station about Mike, where he's gone, and Dwight describes his facial type as marsupial. Which I never considered until just now, but like, yeah, it's like a ferret face.
Yeah.
Holly doesn't think he went back to the office. And Dwight's like, why? The office is that way. Why don't you? She goes, well, there's a bakery right there. I think he'd walk by it just for the smell of it.
Just for the smell of
it. And the gas station attendant's like, yeah, he went that way. So that's the beginning.
Just amazing.
Here.
Just for the smell of it? Do people actually walk by bakeries just for the smell of
it? Yes. Oh, yes. Especially like in the morning if it's like a fresh baked bread.
Fresh
I can't
baked
speak.
Bread.
Fresh baked bread. Yes. So anyway, moving on. Mike. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was, have a comment. I said Holly is like the Rain Man for Michael.
Oh, she totally is this episode. That's the whole thing. And she doesn't believe it either until the end. So Mike enters a pet store and starts talking to puppies and parrots about Holly, basically. In the car, we see Dwight calls Pam. Then there's no word from Michael at the office. Mm-hmm. And Dwight will pick up paper towels and chocolate syrup for ice cream. Pam presents a drawing of two dogs on an island for everybody.
One palm tree.
Yeah. And Gabe shuts it down. And he institutes ground rules that they are not to be insults toward the company. No pop culture references, because some people might not get them. And use sticky quips, which are like...
Sabers
post-it notes. They look like bubbles in a comic strip.
Yeah.
And Oscar and everyone kind of subtly agree to meet on the instant messenger.
Yeah.
And they're going to share their quips that way. So... Michael now stops for a hot dog, and he tries to...
You missed the best
what
part
I miss?
Of, the
what did I miss?
Of the pet store.
What did I miss?
When Michael goes up to the snakes and goes, "You are disgusting. You'll never find love." Ugh.
Blech. This part, I don't know why, it just took me back to Pee-wee's Big Adventure. At the end when he's like saving all the animals from the fire and shit. Like, I feel like Michael going around because like he's saving the snake for last.
Yeah.
So he's now trying to get a hot dog, and he's trying to pawn his watch off because he doesn't have his wallet. And the guy won't give him one. So then Mike turns around and he sees a sign for Mr. Chu's Chinese Palace or something. Mm-hmm. So now the three, Aaron, Dwight, and Holly, are at a mini mart. Dwight's getting the paper towels and fudge, I guess.
Yeah.
And he sees Holly. There's a tent on the side. Holly's changing her cell phone plan.
Yep.
And she goes, "Oh, I'll have my free stress ball now." And the lady gives it to her and goes, "Oh, there you go, Miss Fanny Smells More." And Holly's like, "What?" Like,
yeah.
And that's when Dwight takes it and he's like...
Well, she goes, "Oh, you and Orville
Tootenbacher." And that's when Aaron and Dwight are like, "That's Michael's character, his millionaire character who farts popcorn." And like, that's when Dwight and Aaron realize that Holly understands Michael's way of thinking and that she's, you know, she like is connected to him.
Yeah.
So then Holly is looking at a bench for Mr. Chu's. It's like a bench ad. And she goes, "Are their egg rolls really that big?" And it's like, that's right out of Michael's mouth. Like, is the egg roll really as big as that bench? So Mike, we see at Mr. Chu's, he's eating. And he has no money, and he's like going to Dine and Dash. Yeah, he's going to Dine and Dash, but he comes back in and cops that he doesn't have money. And the waiter is like, you ate so much. This guy's hilarious. And Michael claims he did the right thing, and the guy's like, "No, you didn't. Like, you tried to, like, you're not going to pay for all the food you ate." So, and then the guy calls for Mr. Chu before Michael can leave. And basically, this guy steps behind Michael, and the only way I can describe him is, like Asian Clemenza from The Godfather.
Oh my god.
This beefy dude who's like, looks like an ex-sumo.
Dude, like, oh,
opened
my
a restaurant.
God. That's amazing.
So,
Clemenza.
Moments later, we see the three arrive at the Chinese restaurant. Dwight is condescending to the waiter as if he doesn't speak English. And they see Michael's pic on the wall. It's a Polaroid of Michael on the wall holding a sign that says thief. And they shamed him. So, you know, Aaron says Holly knew that he was here. And Holly's like, "No, what are you talking about?"
Dwight asked if I wanted an egg roll.
Yeah, and that's when the waiter's like, "Oh, he went downtown." Because Dwight, like, is acting out, like, running. He's like, "Where did our friend go?" He's speaking slow. Oh, so awful. But as they're leaving, going downtown, we see a photo on the wall with all the others. And it's Creed, thief. Which makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
So Gabe is miffed that no one is putting up captions on the big drawing in the room. And Daryl tells him that he crushed their spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And a message is sent out. You can hear the computer go ding, 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 or whatever, like that noise. And everybody starts laughing. And Gabe catches Phyllis's box.
She's the only one who couldn't.
She couldn't close it. So he prints out the chat. And as he turns around to leave, he has sticky quips all over his back. And one just says, "I'm a douche." And has like four O's.
Yes, it reminded me of Pete.
Yeah, Jim's brother said it. Douche! So Michael now disappears down an alley and the camera doesn't catch him.
Mm-hmm.
He just disappears like fucking Batman with Vicky Vale. Gabe is reading captions now from the chat. And he's like questioning them. And then he like tries one and he sucks. He's terrible. Then he reads one.
Oscar goes, "Tasteless, Gabe."
Yeah, tasteless.
And Kevin, tasteless.
So he reads one of like from the dog's point of view. Is that Gabe? Did Gabe lose a lot of weight, or is that just a skinny tree? Let's piss on it anyway. and like everybody's like, "Oh, who came up with that?" Oh, and nobody answers. And then we get a talking head of Angela where she's like, It's really easy once I realized I wanted the dog to piss on Gabe. So Dwight and Aaron are now treating Holly like a hunting dog. Oh my like a God. Bloodhound. And
I love Dwight. Is there a clown you want to follow?
Yeah. Like, he's like, is there a sparrow or something? Like, it's so ridiculous.
A bird that's chirping in your ear?
And that's when like Holly's like, let's go. I'm going to go up high and look if I can see him down on the streets or whatever. And there's a big building. Looks like the Dallas Book Depository. Yeah. And she goes to that. Dwight like gets lost in his own thought about being in a submarine. Then he goes, maybe Mike's bowling, and he takes off. And that's when Aaron realizes that like Holly knows him better, and she tails her like quietly from behind. And we see Holly going up the staircase, like
15. I was gonna say this is heels,
like
bitch.
This is like fucking Ghostbusters, like when they have to go up the big fucking building, and like Aaron's like always two stories below, like looking up at her, and Holly gets to the roof, and Mike is there. And, like, at the same time, they're like, oh, I thought I could see Dunder Mifflin from up here. And he's, like, happy and then surprised. And he just, like, I missed you.
Yeah.
And she says the same, and they kiss. And Aaron sneaks around, and she's, like, she's smiling because she's like, maybe I was wrong about Holly. She does know Michael. Which, you know what? This is, like, a kick in the nuts to what I... Do you remember last week when we ripped about how the depth of the...
relationship
connection
wasn't there.
And like this week they're just like, oh, here it is. I wish it came earlier, like, because they've been together for four fucking seasons or whatever, but we finally got it.
Like, oh, by the way, they do have the same thought process. Yeah, and they're on the same wavelength
and they understand each other more than just what you see on the show. So Aaron smiles, she's happy or whatever, and we go back to the office.
Yeah, she has a stepmom now.
Don't. She still hates her. She's the Cinderella of Dunder Mifflin. Or an orphan. Because it wasn't Cinderella's mom. It was her evil stepmother, right? So, yeah, Cinderella was an orphan. I never even considered that.
Both her parents were dead.
So Gabe reads more of the chat quotes, and they're all ripping him. And the one about banging his mom.
Oh, my God.
And that was Phyllis's, because Phyllis is an evil bitch.
Yo, she really is. I just love how she's like, no, not that one.
Yeah, she's pushing him to get to hers. And I will say... Phyllis is the Ursula of the office, the sea witch of the office, because she has been nothing but evil for the last, like, two seasons.
It's amazing.
And that's the episode. So what'd you give this one, Bear?
I give this one a 3.4.
3.8.
It was really funny, and I liked, like, the caption storyline, and finally seeing how connected Michael and Holly are, but there's just, like, no, like...
Yeah, there's no punch. No, not at all. And... Like, I like
that... It moved the story along well.
I like that they got the Cowardly Lion, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man to go after Michael. Like
Dorothy.
No, Michael's Dorothy, man.
Dorothy, yeah. Yeah,
and if I had to say, Aaron is the Scarecrow, Dwight is the Tin Man, and Holly is the Lion.
She has the courage.
She had the courage. Aaron doesn't have a brain, and Dwight... Well, Dwight has no heart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it all worked. Because if he had a heart,
you want to follow?
If he had a heart, he would have known Michael better.
Yeah.
Instead, he's all, like, logical and shit. So, that's just my own drawn conclusion.
And Dorothy couldn't find her way home.
Exactly. So, look at that. That's depth and substance, ladies and gentlemen. The stupid cold open. I hated that. Sometimes the cold open can add a lot. Like, we had those ones a few weeks ago with Toby.
Yeah.
Where, like, Toby was in, like, three of them in a row, and they were fucking great.
Or even Ricky Gervais in the
Gervais one was great. And, like, this one was just like, ugh. No Jim again in this episode.
It was only in the very beginning.
John Krasinski must have been filming a movie, I presume.
Yeah, he had to have been. Either that or Emily Blunt was like, John, you need to come here.
Yeah, she is British, isn't she?
She is British.
I'm trying to think of a movie. Was she in a movie with
Mary
Tom Cruise?
Poppins. Yeah, The Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow. Which that was really good, actually.
Not as good as Oblivion, though.
That's one of my husband's favorite movies, Edge of Tomorrow. Really? Fucking love
As far
movie.
As like Tom Cruise like sci-fi goes, I think Oblivion's better. Oblivion's awesome.
I've never seen Oblivion.
Oh, that one's money. And Morgan Freeman shows up and explains the plot towards the end of the movie. It's fucking great.
I think
great.
That's what we need for every Tom Cruise movie. Oh, that movie. Morgan Freeman to pop in and explain it to all of us.
That movie is like fucking underrated. Maybe one day we'll talk about that on here. We'll cover that movie.
Maybe. But I really enjoyed Edge of Tomorrow, though.
It's a good movie. Good movie. Yeah. So this episode was good. I think we both liked it, but we didn't love it. But
I really enjoyed it, and it's above average. Yeah, it just didn't have like that
punch.
Yeah.
It didn't have a next gear. Kind of like the whole thing was the search, and then they found him. And then the other one, they just, like... Gabe is, like, the punching bag for the office.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. But, I mean, 3.8. And the, yeah. I guess this will tell you how strong season 7 is. 3.8 seems disappointing.
Yeah.
Because everything else has been so good.
Exactly.
But, like, overall, I really like this episode. So.
Yeah, no, same.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, not for this one, dude.
All right, so this one. This next one we're going to do is episode 16, PDA. But before we get there, Mary, why don't you tell everybody where they can find us?
Absolutely, Kev. So, guys, you can always find us on Twitter. We like to keep it funky fresh over there. Post our favorite screen.
A lot of stuff lately. Christopher Walken and Joe Bennett.
Yes. Michael Scott talking about how 2020 is, like, the worst year ever. Maybe I put those words in his mouth. It's fine. But, yeah, no, we like to post our favorite screen grabs on occasion of a clip of the show. I think Kevin likes to comment on a lot of wrestling stuff.
And
our,
sports and yeah. other things.
Well, the sports haven't
exactly. A guy was talking about the Killers the other day. I had to tell him.
Oh, love the Killers.
What's up? Because his. Oh, God. What did he say? He said Spaceman was the most Spaceman underrated Killer song. I think there's one that's more underrated.
Which one?
This River is Wild.
I don't think that's an underrated song.
I do. It's not even a single. Nobody talks about that song. Spaceman had a video where they wore feathers and shit.
I love the Killers too. I just was on a Killers listening spree like yesterday.
I've been listening to a lot of
Went through like every album.
Oh, the yesterday. Killers are great. Hot Fuss, very good.
Sam's
Hot Fuss was one that I liked when it came out, and then I hated it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But like I came back around, man. Midnight Show on top,
so good.
Andy, You're a Star is kind of weak, but
like Andy, You're a Star.
It's good. It's great.
But Day and Age is
Day and Age has like hit and misses.
It's so hard for me because I feel like
I like Neon Tiger. Day and Age has Neon Tiger.
Losing Touch, Human, Spaceman,
Dustland Fairy Tale.
This Is Your Life, I Can't Stay, like, The World We Live In. Like, it's hard because
it's not great.
Oh, I love it.
It's good, but I don't think it's as good as Sam's Town or Hot Fuss.
I really like Battleborn, too.
Battleborn's okay in small doses. What was the last? Oh, Wonderful, Wonderful is trash. And everybody I know who's a Killers fan agrees that
okay, they have there's certain songs on there that are bangers.
There's two good songs.
Run for Cover
and Douglas versus Tyson.
I knew you were going to do that. Those are the only two. The Man. Like The Man is like
no,
for
The
when
Man
I'm
is garbage.
Funky.
No, that's garbage.
No, The Man is for when I'm feeling funky.
Our brother Oz is always like, "Hey guys, Rut's good."
Yeah, no, you're Rut, like dude, Rut. What the fuck?
I don't know where
you came from.
He must have been going through like a fucking crisis of faith or something. Because that song is just tosh. It's tosh.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, Kevin talks music.
I love music. I love talking music.
You can always find us. That Twitter handle is @BrosisPodcast. Or you can send us long form feedback at our email, brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
Yeesh.
Again, we like, we talk about a variety of topics, not just The Office. So
Yeesh.
Hit us up and we'll definitely interact. Mm-hmm. Kevin, why don't you tell them where they can find the cast?
You can find us wherever you're listening to us right now. We're on almost every podcatcher, from what I understand, because I should probably do some more research into the show that we do.
But also,
you can find us each and every Monday morning on the Jenny Position podcast feed. Subscribe today, where you can listen to us and other great shows such as Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving,
yeah.
Journey Through Infinity,
Geek and Sassy.
Geek and Sassy, and more. There's a lot of good stuff on there. Subscribe there, and you'll thank us later.
Absolutely.
So I guess that brings us to PDA.
Yes. Now you've got me thinking, This River is Wild. Maybe I just love it so much. I don't think it's underrated because I love, like, that's
I think if you talk to a person, like, you go out on the street and, like, the person who listens to Top 40 Radio, and you say, like, what's your favorite Killer songs? They'll be like, Mr. Brightside. Yeah. I like,
Somebody told me.
I like, one with Jesus. The alien in the video. What's it?
God.
Can You Read My Mind? That's a great song, by the way.
That is a great song.
Or like
too.
the newer shit. They'll be like, Run for Cover's good.
Thing like Jesus.
Just Another Girl. Awesome song.
Yeah.
But like,
they don't know the deep.
You have to like listen. And God, there's only one Killer song that I absolutely don't like. And it's Uncle Johnny, which is the lead in to This River is Wild, if I'm not mistaken. My friend loves it. We for fucking 15 years, we have butted heads on that fucking album.
See, I like that song too. It's not one that I can like listen to and it like gets me pumped up, but it's also like not one that I skip, I guess.
The thing with the Killers is that sometimes a very, like, if you're going to listen to front to back an album, like on your, if you download it or YouTube playlist, whatever you do, like, the construction of how the songs fit together and flow is very important.
Yes.
And that's the thing with Hot Fuss, is that it works very well. They killed it. And then Sam's Town, I think, is like a modern marvel.
Masterpiece.
It is like when people like talk about great albums, they talk, oh, Dark Side of the Moon or the fucking Beatles, Revolver and shit like that. I think Sam's Town actually belongs in that discussion. Yeah. I know that's like heavy for some people to even wrap their head around, but it's that good.
Yeah, it really is.
I would actually say an underrated one that should be put in there as well is Tragic Kingdom by No Doubt. I think that is
a masterpiece.
Like, and the thing is, like,
from front to back.
Yeah, when you listen to an album in totality, I think a big thing is, like, can you put yourself at a place and time when you first heard it? I remember the mid-90s, man. I don't know if there's an album that encapsulates the 90s. Like, because, like, this...
No, it's so true, though.
The 90s started off with, like, hair metal, and then it went to grunge, and then you had, like, that...
The ska
that,
movement.
That happy shit in the middle, like, Gin Blossoms and the Spin Doctors and Blues Traveler.
Blind Melon.
Like, you had all that shit. And then you had, like, punk kind of had a revival. Mm-hmm. And then you ended it with, like, nu metal and Korn and Limp Bizkit and Rob Zombie and all
Kid
that.
Kid Rock.
Marilyn Manson. Yeah, like, all that shit. And boy bands, lest we forget. So, like, but, like, when you think of, like, I mean, 90 also had Tupac, Biggie, Puffy. Like, you...
Yeah, 90s were
rap,
good.
Yeah, rap and R&B, like, TLC... Salt and Pepper, like there was shit like all over the place.
Brandy.
Yeah, there was shit. Like music was diverse.
Yeah,
and like for some reason, I always go back to Tragic Kingdom as like the epitome of '90s music. It's because like,
it kind of wraps a lot of shit.
Yeah,
because
it captures like the angst, but also the good feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And the music is like upbeat, like you
happy.
Were. For, yeah, it, I don't know. Like I think Tragic Kingdom is like an excellent album.
Yeah,
but I'm sorry.
We got off topic. Yeah. No, it's okay, guys. Yeah. Sorry about that. Maybe we'll do a music podcast.
No, after this office thing, we'll see.
All right, guys, but we're gonna jump right into season 7, episode 16, PDA. So our cold open. Daryl is in his office, and he's kind of somber, and Pam walks in, and she's like, Daryl, we're so sorry to hear about your grandmother passing, and she's like, you know, when you're ready, we got you a condolences card.
Mm-hmm.
And Daryl reads it, and these are some of the things that are in it. Congrats, Daryl. Let's get wasted. Oh, yeah. Party time. Whoop, whoop.
Woot.
Time to celebrate. You deserve this? And she goes, some people may have thought it was a birthday card. At that point, Andy and Daryl...
No,
show
Dwight.
Up, or Dwight, sorry. Show up in the doorway. Dwight is holding a cupcake with a candle in it. They're
party
having,
hats.
Yeah, they have party hats. They have, like, the noisemakers. Andy comes in, and they're both just like, happy birthday! Andy comes in and starts giving him birthday punches. And as he's going, you just see Daryl's face get zoomed in, and there's, like... just one single tear
like,
coming out of his
like that old commercial in the 70s. The pollution on the side of the road and the Native American like has the tear in his eye. That's exactly what it is.
And Pam's like, I'm so sorry.
The funniest part about this just happened to our brother. He was telling us the story the other night.
Oh, I wasn't here.
Okay, so our brother was telling us the story where he was changing, he was transferring work. And they got him a card, and one girl wrote in there, she thought it was his birthday.
Oh.
And she's like, happy birthday, Dan! Dan, I'm sorry I used your name. He doesn't like that. But, yeah, so that was a whole thing.
It's amazing. So, guys,
people really do it. Yeah.
The importance of reading what you're signing.
Yeah, like when it says, like, sorry about your dead grandma. Like, woot woot.
I just, time to celebrate. You deserve this?
Yeah, the way he says it.
This day comes by once in a lifetime.
He's so sad.
All right, that's a great fucking cold open.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was awesome. That made up for the
last
one.
Four people, and it's a great fucking cold open. All right, guys, so it's Valentine's Day. Andy's talking about how he has a date with a girl named Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
He got a reservation at Blue Wasabi.
Yep.
That was an actual legit restaurant
Closed recently.
Dixon City area. Now it's an oral surgeon's office.
Well, it was in also, they moved actually to another location.
Oh.
And they closed again.
Oh.
That place was popping though.
Yeah, it was. All right, so then we see Michael and Holly like...
1 week together now.
1 week. And that's it.
There's tongue.
There's tongue.
Touching.
There's kisses. And they're like, all right, one more.
He's doing,
I love you.
He's doing everything but fingering her at this point. Like,
oh
it's
God.
Disturbing.
He's not groping her tits, though.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, at least there's that line that
there's
has
that
been
line that they don't cross.
Just swapping fluids.
Yeah. And then, like, they hug. And then they do this weird shuffle back
into his office.
Michael's office while they're still hugging.
Presumably to grope and
yeah,
touch
it's
more.
Just, it's to quote Billy Bush, it's gross.
It's gross. Billy Bush, it's gross.
So now, Gabe and Aaron, it's their Valentine's Day too, everybody. Aaron got flowers from Gabe, and if she finds out that there's a puzzle in the bottom of the flowers, and that he's created like a treasure hunt for her. She calls it a scavenger hunt, which he decides to give everybody a definition for. You can tell just how tightly wound Gabe is.
He's kind of like Oscar, like the actual guy. Yeah,
1,000%. And so Aaron has to do the treasure hunt in order to find her gift.
Yeah.
So now Oscar is in a meeting with Michael in the office, and he's like clearing his throat quite often. Then it pans out, and we see that Michael and Holly are working from the same desk and like they're caressing each other's hands.
His left hand, her right hand are just like
it's the hands twining with each other.
Yeah, the hands like
it's hand sex.
When I was talking about fingering, like yeah.
it's hand sex. That's the only way to describe it.
Disturbing.
And Oscar is just like, what the fuck, Mike? And Michael's like, is there a problem? Do you need to go home? You're clearing your throat a lot.
Yeah.
So now Pam and Jim show up from a taxi ride.
Yes.
And you can tell they're a little schlossed.
They're buzzed for sure.
They definitely got the Phyllis and Bob Vance portion of Valentine's Day from the last time. So they're a little bit tipsy. So now Erin enlists Andy's help to help her with the puzzle because apparently she can't do a fifth grade level jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Jim is like actually drunk.
Yeah,
he's sitting at his desk and he's like, I'll do the facts you to now. And like he can't even speak. And
he's
like,
talking to a customer. Yeah, sloshed. Yeah.
He can't even speak in complete sentences. So Dwight's like, oh, look, I'm Jim. I'm an idiot. I'll fax to you now. Like,
I just pissed my pants. Yeah. Dwight was actually really funny.
He was. And Jim, like, laughs at him and then writes out a Valentine's Day card to him. Dwight's like, that wasn't meant for me. You just filled that out now.
My favorite is when
I will not be your Valentine.
I was going to say, Dwight very seriously says, I will not be your Valentine. This is so great.
So now Angela, everybody's in the break room eating their lunch.
I want to ask you a question about this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Angela brings up the Mikey.
Mikey Likey.
the Michael Holly PDA around the office. And she's like, I'm so happy for them. But does anybody else notice this? And everybody agrees, but they're all like, so happy
that's
for
what
them,
I want to. Okay, that's what I want to ask. What is that?
Nobody wants to shit on the relationship because everybody was, like, so supportive of it. Somebody wants to shit on it because Michael's actually genuinely happy. But at the same time, them intertwining their bodies fully clothed in front of everybody is extremely uncomfortable.
Like, it's very bizarre how everyone goes out of their way to be like, I am so happy for them, I like them, but, like, they're just like, it's gross.
It's gross.
So
except for Kevin. Kevin says he enjoys, and everybody's like, no, 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 Kevin. He goes, can I finish? I enjoy watching them because it gets me horny.
He gets hot.
And everybody's like, oh, my God. But yeah, no, everybody goes out of their way to be like, we're so happy for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think everybody's waited, like, everybody has seen Michael go through. Carol, Jan, Donna, like,
because part of me, part of me was wondering if they were just doing that because the camera was there. Because sometimes they do that shit, you know?
It's possible.
It was ambiguous.
It is possible that they were just doing it to save face. So now Aaron and Andy finish the puzzle. And she's like, oh my God, it's Gabe's boombox, which he still has a fucking boombox. And it has a sticky quip on it that says, find me.
I do like that continuity.
Yeah. And Aaron makes Andy continue to help her because he's like, all right, well, you have fun. Like, Andy's just like, yo,
he's trying to draw
a line.
This is
like your romantic thing with Gabe. Like, I probably shouldn't be helping you. She's like, no, it's fine. It's all good. So she makes him come with her. So now Gabe is talking to Oscar at his desk.
Oh, my God.
And he equates the sound effects of Michael and Holly kissing to Chinese water torture.
Yeah.
And then Michael and Holly go to her desk, and she sits down, and he literally starts lifting her shirt
to give her a massage.
To give her a massage at her desk. And in a talking head with Holly, she's like, I don't know what it is about him. He's just so sexy. He's like a primal animal. Everything he does is sexy. And he can fit his legs behind his head. Like, she says this like we should all be impressed by that.
Yeah, like, she's going to toss a salad.
Yeah. And then
I love the montage.
Well,
though,
that's just it. The montage is him, like, failing to throw food into his mouth and then bending over at the copier. And then my personal favorite, sitting down next to the receptionist desk. With, like, that tub of Utz cheese
balls. It's literally like a barrel. Yeah.
And then His entire, like, goatee area is just cheese.
It's all over his suit. And he looks like he's in a coma. He's just like, I ate too many. Like, one of those.
That's my favorite montage of her just being like, everything he does is so sexy.
That's stupid.
So now Gabe is holding a conference room meeting on PDA, and Michael is literally sitting on Holly's lap.
They're doing the whose line is it anyway thing, where her arms are his arms. Yeah, they're coming out from under his thing.
So now, I mean, Gabe is being very polite, and he's like, Saber does allow office romances. And that's when Ryan and I forget somebody else, they're like, oh yeah, well then where's Aaron? And Sonny goes, and where's Andy?
Yeah.
And Gabe goes, I get it. Andy's slamming my girlfriend. And so, I'm like, the way he said it, I was like, what the fuck?
He just like plays it off like, oh yeah, make jokes, she's fucking my girl.
Yeah, like, what? Oh my god. So then he moves on to PDAs, and Gabe uses Jim and Pam as a correct way to be in a relationship.
You wouldn't even know they're
office.
Married.
They don't hug, they don't kiss, and they're just like, nope, we don't. Like, yeah. Still blasted.
Yeah, she's just like, woo!
Yeah, because he's like, look at Jim and Pam, and she's like, what? What do we do?
And she's like yawning the whole time. She's like, ah! Like, if you watch in the background, her and Jim are just like fucked up. It's great.
It's actually it's endearing for once. Yeah. So now, while all of that is happening, the camera zooms in and Michael's literally like rubbing Holly's leg.
Oh, yeah.
Underneath all of this. And like, it's just weird.
That's so when like Oscar like gets in, right? And he's like, are you guys listening?
Well, not yet. Because he's like, well, there's hugging. PDA is hugging and kissing. And of course, there's Kevin going like boob honking.
Yeah, booby honking.
Butt honking. And he's like, all the honking. And that's when Holly is like, literally eating Michael's ear.
Yeah.
And that's when Oscar's like, are you guys listening? Like, what's wrong with you? And they finally realize, oh, they're talking about us. So now Dwight lists everybody who has had sex.
I like how he has this documented on like his notepad.
And Angela's mortified because she's the first one on the list. But I think, if I got it correctly, everybody but Pam, Jim, and Kevin were mentioned.
Was Oscar mentioned?
I don't know.
I don't think Oscar was mentioned.
So
everybody
only
but
four people.
Yeah, everybody else.
Creed is even
Stanley.
Just like, yep.
Stanley slammed
Stanley,
at the office.
Stanley, Phyllis, like, and she's just like, yeah, I did. Creed is like, fuck yeah,
and
I
Kevin
did.
Just goes, and Kevin. And they're like, who did you have sex with? He goes, she goes to a different school. So awesome. Like, he had that line for like 30 years.
Oh, it's amazing. So now, let's see. Oh, Michael declares that three closets will be designated as hookup zones. One for each base, no homers. And it's pro-masturbation.
I love how Holly, as PR or HR rep, is like all out like for it.
Oh my god. And then Michael in a talking head compares Dunder Mifflin to the Taliban.
Well, he also, I think it's Dwight who asks what the policy on masturbation is.
Oh, it's pro masturbation.
Yeah, Michael's pro masturbation. And Creed and Dwight are like, yeah, yeah. Like they're gonna go jerk off in a closet.
Dear God,
so awesome.
So now drunk Pam and Jim are like kind of like thrown around the idea of having sex in the office. At first, they're like, no, we would never.
That's gross.
Yeah, why would we? I mean, could you imagine being in a meeting and the only people that know that you had sex in that spot are you and him?
They start
and,
getting like, turned on by
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can tell that they're starting to contemplate this.
Yeah.
So now, I actually put, seem to warm up to the idea. So now, Aaron and Andy find the boombox in Daryl's office.
And annoy
Daryl. They
annoy
him for like 30 seconds, and then they play the song, and it's one of Gabe's soundscapes.
On his synthesizer.
And he's singing, the temp at night, the temp at night, the temp at night. So now, Pam and Daryl goes, take that and get out of my office.
Yeah, he's
now,
like,
temp at night, you got it.
He lays down the law.
Yeah. So now Pam and Jim are going, so we remember when they first had the baby and they couldn't sleep, there was that space in the warehouse where they could go down and take a nap, and it was right above the place where Angela and Dwight used to bang it out.
Yep.
So they go up there, and there's actually somebody sleeping. So, like, Jim, like, literally falls down the metal fucking ladder to get out of there. So now Holly goes back to Michael's office to collect some things that she left in there when they were cohabitating.
And Michael gets amorous.
Yes,
he's
he
like
does.
Fucking Pepe Le Pew.
Dude.
If Pepe Le Pew was a human, he'd be Michael Scott. Like, that's all there is about it.
God, you're right. And he thinks that she wants some lovin', and Holly's like actually upset that they made people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But Michael doesn't care. And he sees them as a cock block, essentially. Mm-hmm. So Michael declares that he loves Holly. Oof. And she says it back to him. She's like, do you love me? Or do you love me like, oh, Holly, I love that girl.
Yeah.
And they both love each other. So they go to kiss, but they don't. And they shake hands. And Michael is so excited, but he's like, yo, fuck this place.
Yeah, he's like, I hate the PDA policy.
Yeah.
And they go their separate ways.
So now Aaron and Andy are in Ryan's office.
The closet.
Yeah. And there are glow-in-the-dark stars all over. And then you see above the doorframe, it says, eat at Hank's. So then Jim and Pam open the door, and they pretend that they were looking for Ryan when Andy and Aaron run away, and Ryan pops up, and he's like, oh, you guys were looking for me?
Yeah, like, he's, like, excited that somebody cares.
And he's like, no, we weren't. And he goes, oh, I get it. Yeah, just...
He knows all about it.
Yeah, he's like, just put things back where you find it, and text me when you're done. I'll be back here. And then they, like, are immediately just, like...
Shamed.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we're not doing that. And then that's when they realize that the camera saw them the whole time. Mm-hmm. Which, I love this little clip of them down the warehouse. Jim jumps into a box with peanuts. Like, the packing peanuts. And then he's like, look, there's a lid. And Jim just walks away.
That's so awesome. Jim wants to crank it out, man.
Drunk Jim is, like, probably my favorite thing ever.
So awesome.
So now Michael and Holly are now just being assholes about the PDA policy.
Oh yeah, like they're being like dicks. The
sibling thing of I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, but they're doing that with their entire body
in front of everybody.
Yeah, and everybody's like, "Yo, I didn't know that this could get even grosser." And Kevin's like, "I know, it's so nasty." And he's like sitting right in front of them, like eating something.
Yeah.
So Gabe takes them back to his desk, and he's like, "Listen, guys. You need to stop." And he's just like, and like Michael says something, he goes, listen, no one is a bigger fan of sexual touching than me.
Hot image.
Yeah, right? Could you imagine that stick bug?
Bony fingers.
So then Gabe is like, listen, I can only think of three reasons why you guys are acting like this. One, you're taking MMDA, street name, ecstasy. Two, you're trying to fit an entire relationship in before Toby comes back and Holly gets transferred back to Nashua. And that's when their faces drop and they don't look at each other. Or three, you're at an age where sexual climaxes aren't as powerful, so you need to enhance it with foreplay and...
Taboo behavior.
And they're both just... They know that it's number two, but they're like, it's that one. You're right, Gabe. It's number three.
Yep.
And just to try to get away from him, basically, because they don't want to confront the fact that...
She's going to go soon.
Holly's going to go back to banging AJ as soon as she gets back to Nashua. A girl in every port for Holly.
She's a sailor.
Seriously. So now, Michael is sad, and he's thinking about her leaving again. Holly suggests long distance. He's like, we didn't even survive the ride last time.
Mm-hmm.
So then, let's see. Okay. So Hank gives Aaron the Aaron special, which is sparkling cider, and the next clue, which is looks for something in the break room.
To quote Hank, there's a heart or some shit in the break room. They censor him. It's so great. Which I didn't realize. I saw the other day. Hank has been dead for like 4 years. The actor.
Really?
Yeah, I did not know the actor who played Hank has been dead.
Either.
So R.I.P. Hank.
Oh, sorry, Hank.
That was a sad little thing to throw in here.
Thanks.
I just found out the other day, and
just kill my
R.I.P. Vikram too, because Vikram died too this year.
That's not funny, but yes, you're right. All right, so anyway, Kevin. Michael.
Kevin and Daryl. Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin. Sorry, I'm trying to go through my notes. Kevin threw me off with the R.I.P. Vikram.
Hank.
Michael is trying to cheer Kevin up outside of the window, and Daryl's like, make your funny faces, Kevin.
So then your Daryl impression. My God. I don't know why, it just cracks me up.
So, why? Because he's abrasive?
No, just go.
Anyway.
Daryl's the man.
Let's see. Oh, so Kevin's making faces, and Dwight charges in. Pulls the shades down. He's like, stop doing that, you assholes. Like, and then he tries to calm Michael down. And then we see Aaron and Andy. And Gabe put the cookie in the B9 slot.
Yeah, heart-shaped cookie.
Yeah. So she gets it and she's like, oh, like benign, like a tumor. And goes, or be mine.
I love the tumor. She's so great.
So then Aaron, like...
Well, there's an inscription on the cookie.
Yeah, that's like something about your Valentine's
Day kiss.
Yeah, and Aaron like tries to kiss Andy.
Yeah, and
he's like backs up and he's like and Gabe is right there and he like creepily throws her an air kiss. Yeah. Like, it's just weird.
And she catches it.
Yeah, doesn't put it on her lips though. So then let's see. Michael tries to break up with Holly.
tries. This was random. He just goes back there. He's like, I shouldn't be doing this on Valentine's Day, but we should break up.
Yeah.
And she puts her foot down.
Yeah. And they decide that their future should not be up to the company. They're going to make their future, their decisions. Then they announce that they're moving in together after dating a week.
Yep. And while they're making their announcement, Pam and Jim enter the office disheveled.
Yeah, they walk in. And
tie askew, sweater up under.
Very awkwardly, they did it. And their talking head is just them, smiling. But I do love, I forgot to say before, when they were doing the montage of the lid in the box in the warehouse.
Oh, when they're talking about.
We have things that some people don't. We have a house with a bed. And
we have sex there.
A couch. And then Jim's like, and a shower. And Pam's like, oh my God.
Yeah, she's like an old Christian woman. He's like, how dare you? Don't tell
me. But I love how Jim's just like, and a shower.
Yeah, he's just
so drunk. I love it. I fucking love it. So now everybody is giving their last thoughts on what their perfect Valentine would be. And Dwight says that he would be manning 3 phones to take in suckers trying to buy his reservations that he made last year.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly said a 3-course meal to violinist to serenader. Ryan said it's impressive that a man can do it one time a year, but it's even more impressive for a man to never do it. And Kevin basically just said pizza, TV, and soda.
And the moon.
And the moon. And that's it. That's how we ended.
Michael and Holly's is...
oh, yeah.
Sex.
Yes.
Sex. And subliminal messaging, sex.
What did you give this one, dude?
I gave it a 3.5. All right. It was lackluster, to put it mildly.
I think it was, I laughed more when we rehashed it just.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I wasn't into it. Yeah. I watched it twice.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, okay. Like, the cold open was great.
Yes.
Cold open was awesome. I kind of dug the stuff with Jim and Pam.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Michael and Holly I'm overdosed on.
Dude, it was too cringy. Michael Holly stuff was way too much.
Because, I don't know, it was Holly's a professional woman sometimes, and then there's other times when she's, literally female Michael.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's almost like the Michael Scott character where there's no consistency, and it's like, the fuck?
Yeah, and she's an HR rep, and she's making out in the middle of the office.
And then, the Andy... I swear to God, I know it's only been a season of it. The Andy, Dwight, Aaron thing is just death.
Gabe.
Or who'd I say?
Dwight.
Oh, Andy. Andy, Aaron, and Gabe. It's just
it's killing you slowly.
Oh, it is. It's totally taking pieces of my soul.
Gabe and Aaron have zero chemistry.
Zero chemistry.
Just Andy and Aaron have zero chemistry.
They
make each other
stupider.
They
have a weird chemistry. But it's just I don't know, man. It just bothers me. It's not entertaining. It's what it all comes down to. It's I don't care.
Yeah.
And at least I care about other characters on the show. But Andy, the thing is when they did the thing with Andy's play, or there was one we did a few weeks ago where, when Michael went to see Donna's husband at the baseball game, where Andy's not overbearing and he has a reason to exist and he can be a voice of reason sometimes.
Yep.
But making everything about him being lonely and revolve around finding romance, it's just death for that character.
Learning to cook for one.
Yeah, that character should not be having sex. I'm sorry. I think of Andy Bernard as asexual.
Yeah, he doesn't have a penis.
Yeah, so everything with Andy is just... he's basically a poor man's Michael Scott, and it just doesn't work. Because that's Michael's whole reason is socially awkward guy trying to find love.
Yeah.
And, they tried to do it with Andy, but it's, more inept and less funny.
Yeah.
That's basically the long short of it. And by putting him with Aaron, it doesn't help.
No.
Because Aaron is fine on her own.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm watching, I'm Aaron's fine. Like last episode with Dwight and Holly, and then, this one, going around. She has funny lines, and she delivers everything with, chipperness.
Yeah.
It's fine. But, the two of them together, ass.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
So, this show was fine, 3.5, but, nothing special.
I gave 3.4, so we're pretty much on the same page.
Absolutely. So, anything else you want to talk about?
Not on these episodes, dude.
So,
but next...
what do we got?
We have episode 17, Threat Level Midnight.
Can't wait.
And episode 18, Todd Packer.
I just want to say that I saw these two episodes pop up, and I went, swing! Because I don't remember everything about Threat Level Midnight. I remember it.
Yeah.
And I don't recall at all this Todd Packer episode, so... It's going to be great. You guys are going to like it, I think.
I think so.
But yeah, so guys, that'll do it for this week. However, if you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter at Brosis Podcast. We follow us. We'll follow back. We're follow back whores.
Woo!
If you have longer form criticism, content, suggestions,
feedback,
question, you can reach out to us at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. We'll read your shit on the show. We'll get back to you, whatever you want. And also, you can find us each and every week on any podcatcher app, as well as the Jenny Position podcast feed, where you can find us and other great shows every week. And you should subscribe today to that, and you'll thank us later.
Absolutely.
So, guys, until next time, we'll catch you all on down the road.
Thanks, guys.